Winning at Life. Live financial talk radio. Means you can participate in the show. Yes, I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Let's talk tonight. Let's talk about some mutual funds, maybe the market, tariffs. I got this feeling that the EU caved. Others will follow. Market's going up eventually. Join the conversation, 504-260-0995.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you didn't get that phone number, it's on the front page of the Winning at Life app, just a couple thumb pushes away. You can also text the show. But you have a pretty good idea what the top story is. You just heard it in your top of the hour news here. It sounds like the EU and the US, which have the largest trading partnership the world has ever known, are going to avoid a trade war, at least for now.
We want to further strengthen this trade relationship to the benefit of all American and European citizens. This is why we agreed today, first of all, to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, so the caveat in there is on non-auto industrial goods, but the rest of that I loved. No tariffs, no subsidies, free, fair, open trade. That was the point we've been told of some of these tariffs to begin with, and it looks like it's already having an effect. So I like the sound of that. So we're starting with, we're aiming toward free, fair, no trades, no subsidies on non-auto industrial goods, but there's more.
We will also work to reduce barriers and increase trade in services, chemicals, pharmaceuticals, medical products, as well as soybeans. Soybeans is a big deal. And the European Union is going to start almost immediately to buy a lot of soybeans. They're a tremendous market.
Yeah, so the soybean thing, we know who that's aimed at. And the tariff tit for tat, China told us a couple months ago, well, we're just going to stop buying all your soybeans. We'll buy them, I don't know, we'll buy them from Brazil, I guess. But we're not going to buy yours anymore. And that was part of the farm subsidies that were announced earlier this week, is this is going to soften the blow. But apparently...
Yeah, that's going to sway us when you have such a lopsided amount that, yeah, that's going to hurt us.
It was one of the few big purchases, though, that the Chinese make from the United States. And I mean these as a whole, talking in general. But that's what that's about. He's using the EU to lean on China. You know, to take care of our farmers. And
yeah, so at least we don't have to get it from them. We have plenty of that edamame. Yeah, here.
All right, so that
they're going to be hungry for it, though. We have some good stuff.
It does seem weird that the EU can say, yeah, we'll just decide to buy a whole lot of soybeans. It's like, well, is there a demand for it, or did you even check? You're just going to buy it without telling anybody. But hey,
Donald Trump told them how good it is. Okay, we're in.
All right. So
it's at all of his hotels.
We've made progress. Yeah, right. We've made progress with Europe. We've now used some of that leverage to make progress, or at least to turn the heat up against China. Who's our other big geopolitical foe, and how could we really take a bite out of them and their relationship with the European Union? You know what I'm talking about there, Gregory?
Russia. We have lots of natural gas.
Secondly, we agreed to a strengthening of our strategic cooperation with respect to energy. The European Union wants to import more liquefied natural gas, LNG, from the United States, and they're going to be a very, very big buyer. We're going to make it much easier for them, but they're going to be a massive buyer of LNG, so they'll be able to diversify their energy supply.
Which, diversify, you mean not get it all from Russia? Yeah, get some of it from the United States. And that's what he leaned on them at when he had the little NATO summit last week. So there's the trifecta. We've made progress against Europe. We leaned on China. We're now leaning on Russia. This is all in one day. This is a lot to digest. He had a meeting today. I mean, we knew he was having the meeting. We didn't know anything was going to come of it. The guy's name is Jean-Claude Juncker. He's the EU president.
He's a deal maker.
Yes, he said that I came here to make a deal, and a deal's been made. But he added something to the end of Donald Trump spoke first on the South Lawn, and then it was this Junker guy. It spells Junker, but they were saying Junker. And check out what he added here.
This, of course, is on the understanding that as long as we are negotiating, unless one party would stop the negotiations, we hold off further tariffs. And we reassess existing tariffs on steel and aluminium. This was a good, a constructive meeting. Thank you, Donald.
Well, thank you very much.
He called him by his first name.
Yeah.
What Donald criticized for doing that to Germany's chancellor?
Angela. Yeah, but he's calling the dude Jean-Claude.
I know. They're like buds. Relax, but actually, everybody. It's a good thing. It's buds. They're like buds. Yeah, we had a 15-minute talk.
So no more tariff exchanges and retaliation. That's all going to be just gone immediately because the negotiations are ongoing. And he just wanted to go back and reiterate, we're stopping the retaliatory tariffs against steel and aluminium as well, which I like the English accent version of aluminum. They're saying it wrong. You know, they invented the language. You think they could say it right. But that's another big saving grace, because that's one of our big markets is the European Union. That's our biggest trade partner there, the European Union.
And honestly, this is where a deal should have been done, had to be done, because that's the easiest deal. Is yeah, we get along great, and really, you just drop off the stuff and have free trade. They want what we have. We want their stuff. We want their German cars.
Well,
we want their wiener schnitzels and a lot of other stuff.
Is that what they're selling us?
Well, that's a couple of things.
Okay, so a couple of interesting pieces of context here. Kind of like what you were saying. Of course, we did a deal with the EU first. They're sort of our allies. I mean, they're supposed to be. They don't really help us that much, but they're kind of on our team. We share a civilization, you know, Western civilization with them. But we didn't just get them on our team. We got them to use a little bit of a crowbar on both Russia and China at the same time.
I love it. I love it.
What a score.
And we have plenty of that liquefied natural gas to go around.
Okay, now we have a bone of contention here, because there's a country that's trying to get into the EU. I don't think they're a full official member with all rights and privileges yet, but Turkey has been a pain in our backside. And you know why? Because they're still buying oil from Iran. They're defying the sanctions, and they're not on board with the sanction talk.
Well, then they don't get in.
No, this is going to be what stops them from getting in when their little process comes up for review, because they're on their probationary period. But they did have a Christian preacher in Turkey that's been in jail that they released, that they let him go to house arrest until his trial. That's odd, because publicly they're saying Erdogan is just railing against Trump and the United States, and we'll do what we want when it comes to Iran. But we see what happens behind the scenes. Is they're actually making some concessions too.
Yeah, it'd kind of be good if we get a phone call that the guy's going to be at the border in 30 minutes and somebody pick him up.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be a start with all this whatever stuff. Just you kind of needing to get some good graces, because you've got a lot to overcome. That country's a piece of work.
So the deal master, the guy who wrote the book, The Art of the Deal, he's working some deals.
Right. And we know China has to cave at some point. They're a wreck. Russia has no GDP to speak of, really.
I was shocked at how low it's gotten in the last 4 years.
Yeah. They're hurting. What are they, chasing Venezuela or something down the path? It's ugly for them. Now, look, Venezuela is going to turn this thing around sometime the next 10 to 20 years. They'll be a player again, and that's fine. Just won't mean as much for them later. But, you know, when we come back from the break, I'm going to cover another story of why we might see oil prices at $200 a barrel.
See,
tell you when, and it's not 10 years out. It doesn't have to do with Venezuela or Russia. It's a lot simpler. And I'm like, man, James and I, we might want to get involved in this and help brother out. Like, I'll tell you more.
Man, we could have bought in when it was $27 a barrel. What was that, 3 years ago?
No, we're not buying any oil. We're just going to do something with it.
All right. Help them out. All right. I look forward to learning what we're going to do with oil in the next segment, Gregory. going to be incredible. But the fun thing to watch, though, is, you know, China, they're in such a different system than we are. They came out on Monday and they said, all right, we're lowering our corporate tax. We're starting some subsidies here and we're devaluing the dollar. They just decided to do that over the weekend. And you forget
who?
China. They don't have to. Oh, they don't have to propose a bill or go to Congress.
They don't even have to come up with new ideas, do they? Hasn't another country done that lately? A couple things: lower tax rate, increase economic growth, such as that.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. But they are debasing the snot out of their currency.
Oh. Well. Yeah. That is their go-to thing. And you know what? I wouldn't let them off the hook for that. Okay. Go there.
It's so weird, though, because what we see here, like, what are we doing with tax reform 2.0? Well, first something gets proposed and these lawmakers got to get it together and they work out the details. In the meantime, everybody's discussing what's popular and whatnot, and things get poll tested and people lick their finger and stick it to the wind and see what the voters like. And then when the politicians kind of get a beat on public sentiment, they'll go vote on something.
I know. This is so different now what we do here.
Yeah.
Because we have a leader that just says, look, I've got this. I know what needs to be done. He doesn't have to do a smell test. Milk's good. Milk is good. Let's roll.
They're always drinking the milk without sniffing it. That's a perfect metaphor. But they didn't have to bring in some of the opposition or like, well, we got to get at least 6 votes from the opposing party. There's no opposing party. There's no votes. This is a Politburo. And they just decided over the weekend, we're going to debase our currency and lower taxes and a couple other small little things there. But the world's a trip. It's cracking me up. Got a little better today. So 1/3 of the trade war stool here is now taken care of. EU and US are buds. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. Coming up next, why oil could go to $200 a barrel. I'm James Parker. We're winning at life with Gregory Ricks.
So does wine have that effect? Baby, hide the wine. Hey, I guess it can. Depends.
What effect? And then, what are we talking about,
wine,
Gregory?
Wine makes you feel a little happier, and then play that music that turns you on. Then it's just you and that significant other, you know, the wife.
I think oxygen does that for me, Gregory.
We actually heard her perform this live at the,
Boomtown!
Boomtown St. Jude.
Yeah, it was a benefit concert for the good folks at St. Jude.
Yeah. We know the sponsor of that event, too, was who Gregory was Ricks and Associates.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of those guys. But those dudes.
Awesome. And the guy that can fix us a drink, he performed, too.
Chris Jansen. Eric Paisley, Carly Pierce, and Gregory Ricks.
That was pretty fun. It was some good music, some good times, and a good cause. Okay, this is Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. That's James Parker. Hi. Live Financial Talk Radio. You can join the conversation, 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. You can text, email us, call us from the app. There's a dashboard. There's a social segment that pictures podcasts are the bomb. So yes, download it and we'll send you a option to look. Yeah, you get an email from us thanking you for that, letting you know what it's like to be a member of the Winning at Life Nation. And there's a few things you could opt in on as well if you'd like. Back to business. The regulation that could push oil to $200 a barrel over the next 18 months. That's a stark change. Listen, where are we at yesterday? We haven't given the numbers today yet, but we were around 68 and some change yesterday on oil, but it could push them as high as $200 a barrel. You're like, what? There's a shortage? Venezuela, it's their fault. A research paper from The Economist and oil market watcher Philip Blager predicts there could be a shortage of low sulfur diesel fuel in 2020 as a result of regulations from International Maritime Organization aimed at cutting sulfur emissions. That would have something to do with shipping.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like their maritime organization, the IMO. Those rules have already sparked a scramble for low sulfur options, but you know, we've already headed that direction with automobiles. I'm surprised that shipping is that big of an effect, but the current global refining capacity may not be able to churn out enough low sulfur fuels to allow a smooth transition. So that's where James Parker and I come in. Like, yeah, we should acquire some refinery and upgrade it and then double its capacity or triple. And then we solved it.
You're putting a lot of stock in my brain. I have a hard time fixing the lawnmower.
No, we'd have to hire the people to figure all that out and build it. Look, I'm just kidding about James and I doing that, but look, that there's an opportunity for somebody to do that. Shipping industry accounts for about 5% of global oil demand, and most ships burn heavy fuel oil that is high in sulfur. So yeah, we got to quit doing that stuff anyhow. So maybe they're rushing us into it, but ship owners all have a few options: install expensive scrubbers to remove sulfur, switch to low sulfur fuels like diesel or gas oil, or switch over to,
that makes sense,
LNG. I know somebody has a lot of that stuff. That might be what, okay, that kills our opportunity. Liquefied natural gas. I think there's a lot of that stuff around the United States, but the onus will be on low sulfur fuels. Problem is, not all crude oil is the same. That's kind of why we talk about, we give two oil prices now, because we had Brent crude into the mix there. So by 2020, diesel production will need to rise at least 7% to make up for this. On top of that, banishment of fuel oil from the maritime sector, which will lead to a crash in high sulfur fuel oil prices. Power plants on shore that burn oil might switch over to high sulfur fuels. And because of the steep crash in prices, ironically, maritime fuel switch may do nothing to improve the global commons, given that pollution sources can just move from the high seas to land. Look, this is a switch over. Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome back. 504-260-0995. That's the number to call. Winning at Life app works as well for texting, email, and calling. 504-260-0995.
To the phones we go. Byron Homa, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Byron? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, y'all were talking about the natural gas vehicles and all. I'm an auto mechanic and been doing this for a long time.
Oh, and man. Do we sound dumb to you when we talk about this?
I'm sorry?
Do we sound quite novice to you when we talk about this?
No. Okay. Actually, you can't convert a diesel engine to natural gas. You need a spark to ignite natural gas. So, and it would not be profitable to try and change all of these diesel engines and all of this stuff to go natural gas. And the amount of natural gas that you have to carry is so explosive. That's why it's not feasible for a car. You see natural gas been in a long time for forklifts and everything else, but it's you know, in Home Depot or whatever. A lot of these things are, you know, any warehouse, they run on it because they run so clean and they don't put out the emissions. But the problem with it is that they can't. It's not feasible to try and put this on the road at this point. The fuel cells and all, if you had to, because what you got to do is natural gas, when it's burnt through an engine, has to turn back into a vapor. So you have to carry so much liquid natural gas to be able to go any type of distance, especially for an 18-wheeler or something like that. So they can't even do it for a car. They try building these fuel cells and everything with natural gas and all, and it's so dangerous that once you break this thing open, you broke open a bomb in a way.
Okay, so I think I get what you're saying here. Because they're not held at, or liquefied natural gas isn't held at standard temperature and pressure, it can't just be thrown in your tank like gas. It has to be in one of those compression tanks.
Correct. And the protection behind it, if this tank busts, you know, it's not, you know, 5 gallons of butane, which is basically the same thing. You can ball 10 pots across, you know, of seafood with it. basically.
That makes me a little nervous for those big city buses. Have you seen the big city buses, Gregory, that run on natural gas? Is that what we have in New Orleans? Did they convert ours to natural gas? I think they might have.
I've seen various cities. I've seen those with the strange pipes coming out of them, which gives you the idea that they were converted.
Well, it's hard to argue with that. I don't have the mechanical expertise that Byron does, but that is a good point, though. It's not really that simple for you to just put liquefied natural gas into your car, or not as simple as it is for regular gasoline, because you can just put that in any old bucket and carry it around. But liquefied natural gas, if it's not under pressure, then it's going to be a vapor, and you can't really carry that around in a bucket or pour it into your tank. So, well, good thoughts there, Byron. We'll have to let the scientists work on that one a little bit more and temper our enthusiasm in the meantime. All right, you want to do some numbers here?
Well, and going back to what I was thinking about from that is, with the abundance and affordability of natural gas in the U.S. provides opportunities to use the fuels in new ways that could enhance our nation's energy diversity. And is, could we convert natural gas to diesel fuel? You can convert natural gas to ethanol. So, you know, I'm not a petroleum engineer, chemical engineer, so I don't know enough about that. But that's something that I was thinking could be one of the things. But once again, that's kind of a restructuring of industry to build facilities to do that. And that won't come on the cheap as well. That, you know, billions to convert that. But if that's the way things go, then the money's there. So once again, something I don't know much about, but it was a thought.
It's so cheap now, but too. We got to figure this out. Yeah,
and you can convert it to ethanol, so that's right. A known.
All right, fork in the road. Numbers or Bob?
Bob.
Bob, Bay St. Louis. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Bob?
Great to talk to you guys. I've got to have a dilemma here. Want to pay cash for a house. I'm in the process of selling the house now. That's going to be probably netting me a little over $100,000. And the house I have now is paid for. And so I'm thinking, should I take, I was going to try to buy a house somewhere around $120,000. And should I pay for that and be basically cash poor? But I don't have a house note. I don't want that. I haven't had one for 15, 20 years. Or should I, you know, and I'm just on Social Security now, so there's no income. So I really can't, from what I'm told from the bank, that, you know, I can't really borrow money because I don't have enough income. So I'm
what
kind
is
of
your age, Bob? 68. What's your age? 68. And you have no mortgage at this time?
No.
Social Security, no other household income?
No.
What's the approximate value of the home?
About 240. And I'm guessing I'll net 100. Yeah, I have to split it in half. So I have to probably get about 100, a little over 100.
Yeah, to go borrow the money's problematic because they're wanting guarantees as such. But have you thought about, look, this might be just from way out there, but have you thought about a reverse mortgage?
We're in the process of selling the home now. I don't think you can do that, can you?
Okay, so now you're selling the home.
Okay. Yeah, it's on the market now. Yeah.
Oh, so where are you living next?
I have some property that I wanted to, that I own free and clear. And, the guy would build a house for $175,000, but if I only got $120,000 cash, I got to borrow the rest, and nobody's going to want to do that. Even with my VA, you know, I used a GI Bill back in the '90s and paid off the house, but nobody's going to give me any money, because there's only Social Security income.
Okay. That's so there's no debt on the house that you say worth $240,000.
No. Okay, and I'm debt free, and I,
where are we friend, at 120 on building the house? You've got 240 to work with.
Yeah, he's got
split. Well, no, I only get half of that, is what I'm saying. I'll of the proceeds from the house, I'll probably end up with a little over $100,000. And then the guy told me he could build the house for $175,000, and like an idiot, I was thinking, wait a minute, I can just borrow $75,000. But then I realized that no, I'm on Social Security. And the guy said, no.
Well, here's your other answer, a reverse purchase. Now, I don't know how you bridged that. You'd have to talk to somebody like Dwayne Stein of MortgageGumbo.com. And he runs a show on Saturday after hours, I believe it's at 1 o'clock as well, And he's in the mortgage business. So that's where we've got to look. How would you bridge that? But that's where you're putting up money and then having the value of the property doing a reverse kind of could possibly solve that if the numbers work, where we've had clients that have sold their home and do a reverse purchase. They don't necessarily have to put all their money back in it from the sale. Doing a reverse takes care of the other half, and they're in the home until they're done with it, basically. So that's an idea there to consider in your situation. Dwayne might would know more about how do you bridge that, because you're having to do construction as well as buy it, unless the person's going to build it and then sell it to you. I don't know. There, you have to be a little creative on that side, but the reverse purchase, once again, might help you out on that.
Okay, and then the other option is just buying a home for like $140,000-$150,000 in that neighborhood, because like it's just going to be basically me. So
I still would go back to the reverse purchase, since it's just you, that you don't have to put all your money back into it. In there, looking at doing that combination frees up some money, because your only source of income is Social Security.
And that, that would make you a little more palatable to a lender, because you're not some guy that doesn't have income. You got your house on the line. Mm-hmm. So they can't be left holding the bag either way.
And FHA backs the reverses.
Okay. Right. What about the VA loan probably wouldn't be into the picture, would they?
No, they wouldn't. You wouldn't need them.
Okay, got it.
I really think you should explore that option as well as the others that you're looking at.
You're going to need a crafty mortgage guy, and we happen to know one. Dwayne Stein, mortgagegumbo.com. He'll work right across the Pearl River for you folks in Mississippi as well. He's on the North Shore from us over here in Louisiana as well. All right, Bob, mortgagegumbo.com. See if he can get you hooked up. Thanks for calling. If you want to be after Bob, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're winning at life with Gregory Ricks. Welcome back. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, some sort of money issue just burdening you, it's weighing on your shoulders right now, give us a call. Gregory Ricks, the Hall of Fame financial advisor, loves answering your questions. 504-260-0995. Me, not so excited about it. Gregory loves answering them. 504-260-0995. Or you can give us a text from the Winning at Life app.
Oh, my wheels are still turning from LNG or natural gas earlier, but one of the things, diesel and jet fuel are usually made from crude oil,
but
with oil prices going up and this sulfur that everybody's having trouble with, pollution.
Are they?
Yeah. Things have to change, so we've got to get rid of the sulfur. A South African firm, Sasol, basically says, you know what? We can do it. They figure, now this is some 2010 pricing here, so I've not correlated the number if it's much different from right now, but they said, look, natural gas needed for a gallon of diesel plus operating costs come to $1.50 a gallon. In comparison, a gallon of diesel made from crude oil costs more than $2. So we're not that far off in difference prices. It's a little higher. Is where we're at there. So therefore a hefty cost of building a chemical plant to do the conversion, which might run over $1.5 billion that would handle say 40,000 barrels a day. And they were talking about doing this with the Shell in Canada. So once again, right there, it goes back to, we're not having to put bombs on ships, so to speak, the LNG, but what we're talking about is the idea of just the same thing. Ethanol can be made from natural gas. Well, so could diesel. And that's probably where we go with jet fuel as well. If technology's not there, it's going to get there. When there's a need, there's a bright idea.
Well, it's a hydrocarbon chain.
Yeah.
It's just a different hydrocarbon chain.
So, and that's where I think the gap fills in there. And that's why, you know, we're not running ships on electric engines, and jets aren't running on electric engines. There might be a combination of that, but you're still going to need the fuel. And that's where I think, once again, go back to natural gas, pretty cheap, a lot of it. I think that's where some of this offsets us getting to $200 a barrel.
Well, now that you say that, I think the perfect thing that could keep all sides happy is if you could make an engine that would run off of plastic straws. I think that would.
And we seem to have an abundance of them now as well.
Yeah, they're destroying the planet.
There you go.
Welcome to the number segments where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world. And it all doesn't matter because the only thing that really registered today, like none other, is the last 30 minutes of the trading day. I mean, we were just kind of putting along and yeah, we were sort of kind of creeping there in positive territory. But about 2:30 Central Time, the alert came out and you got the text from me, didn't you, Gregory?
That yeah.
The reporters at the White House and the White House press pool were scrambling. They're like, well, this wasn't on the schedule. They said, we're about to have a press conference. And they're like, what's going on?
They were popping pork, champagne, the White House, huh? Deal is done.
Well, we didn't know at first. So it was fun watching it happen. They're like, there's going to be a press conference for something. I don't know what this is about. He didn't say. I don't know if this is about the recorded tapes from his lawyer. I don't know if this is about some investigation. I don't know. The EU guys here, it could be anything. And so then they set the podium out there, and then they set the American flags out there. And then on next to each one of the American flags, they set an EU flag. And they went, aha, we're going to have ourselves a big announcement from the EU. Maybe the trade war is escalating, or maybe this is a nothing burger, or maybe things are getting solved.
So that means EU, which means UK, is going to
be. No, EU is not UK.
I understand, but that also we're going to get a deal with the UK.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. Right.
I'm not combining the two. I'm just saying, okay, we've got to deal with the EU. You know, the UK deal's coming and all this is looking bad for Russia and China.
Yeah. And look, I think the UK and their Brexit move was so helpful in dealing with the EU, because if we're talking to the EU as a whole, all we got to say is, you know what, why don't we just split off Germany like we split off the UK from you guys? Then what are y'all going to do? Why don't we just go split off some more of you guys? And we can just lean over to Germany. It's like, hey, y'all want to do an exit? We'll just make a deal with y'all and y'all don't have to do this trade war with us.
A side note, fine print. I saw where North Korea is like tearing down rocket towers and stuff like that. Looks like, boy, wouldn't that be a ding in the China side? New trading partner, North Korea. Making the widgets.
Yeah, China's not too worried about it right now. They've got their own problems.
But yeah, that's a positive deal for the market at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it was going to be just about flat, but it popped up 0.7%, most of that in the last half hour of trading. So the Dow Jones finished strong, 25,414. The S&P, what's the number? They've got to be only like 30, 40 points away from their all-time record close from back in January. They were up 0.9% today, 2,846. NASDAQ up 1.2% today, and that is an all-time record high. Again, most of that was just in the last little half hour there, 7,932.
Well, it also affected the yield on 10-year treasuries, 2/32nd change. They bumped up in yield at 2.968%. Crude oil was happy as well, gained more than 0.25%, $69.40 a barrel. Brent crude, $74.57. Gold, little movement there, $1,241.70 an ounce. Silver pushed up to $15.64. So all kind of positive stuff on the back end of the day.
Well, let me get to something negative here. And there's one stock that took a big beating.
But, you know, everybody this morning was saying, oh, they're just going to blow through the expectations.
Right. We're talking
just blew through the wrong way.
Yeah. It blew them up for sure. But the Facebook, I like putting the in front of it still. The Facebook in the actual market trading day, it was up 1.3%. And that's what it shows on the short sheet. But what it doesn't show is they had to report their second quarter earnings right after the bell. Smart move, because for the first time in a long time, I don't remember hearing about Facebook miss much. And they really didn't miss by much, but it was so priced in that last time I checked in after hours trading, they were down 17% just from today's close. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little lower than that by now, because I checked that about an hour and a half ago. But Facebook got a big, fat, bloody nose, and we'll get more on that one tomorrow. Our other big loser on the short sheet over here, Fiat Chrysler, down 11.8%. Actually, all of our cars were down. Fiat was down the worst. And that kind of stinks, because one of the things you heard in the audio clip we were playing earlier is the trade detente that was reached between the United States and the European Union today did not include automobiles. So that might have a little bit to do with it. Tesla somehow is up 3.8% today, though. And that's anything else from the short sheet? That about does it on my end.
Good.
All right. Tell them about your day job.
Hey, financial advisor, money manager, seeker of the financial path. Where are you on your financial path? Where are you headed? What does that financial destination look like? Do you have a risk number? I went over that with a couple in today on a review. I said, hey, we're going about it differently. I'm going to ask you a series of questions and we'll find out where you land out there. And then we adjusted the portfolio to match up with it. They were actually so happy to kind of know they have a number now. And that's part of the guided planning system on how we allocate assets to make sure you're comfortable with the overall plan. And it's a lot easier to tweak going there down the road. So if you'd like a no pressure visit, nobody's going to ask you to, oh, let's get started today, sign here. You know, I look at it as a 2-meeting process just to make sure we end up on the same page. And at no point it was, oh, you want to get started today, sign here, let's move stuff. No, you're the one that's going to ask. Like, you'll some point say, well, what do we do to get started? We like it here. It feels good. If you'd like to have an extended conversation, call my office, 504-832-9200, or go to GregoryRicks.com.
Gregory Ricks Live is happening again September 15th. We're doing this one on a Wednesday. This is not a women-only event. This is an open event. If you're a couple, we strongly encourage you to bring your significant other. But that's happening 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie, September 15th. You're going to have to RSVP. The last 1, 2, 3 events have gone past max capacity. This one probably will do the same. So the only way you can assure to get your reservation, get it in early. Call the office, 504-832-9200, or you can also RSVP for the event connected through the app, the Winning It Life app. So go download that. All right. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. We do this Monday through Friday at 7, Saturday 10 to 1. The podcast available on the Winning It Life app.
Tomorrow, some Social Security discussions.
Sounds good. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Have a good one.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.